الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, we had been discussing dua and the virtues of dua and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts duas. We had given many examples of people who had just made dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately accepted those duas. It comes in hadith, Udu Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijabah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a state that you have the full conviction that Allah ta'ala will accept the duas. You shouldn't think and, you know, imagine it shall, may happen, may not happen. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept my duas. How? We had mentioned to you different ways that one is the dua is accepted immediately. Whatever we ask for, we get. One, the dua is accepted after a while. Maybe after a year, it's mentioned that the dua Musa alayhi salam had made against Firaun, our Ustad Mufti Ahmad Rahman had mentioned it, it was accepted after 40 years. So dua is definitely be accepted. Sometime we get something better in lieu of whatever we said, we ask for something, Allah ta'ala give us something better. Sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from some calamity, musibat and afat that's coming. Made dua, Allah Ta'ala saves us, the barakah of that dua from that calamity, that tragedy and that afat that was coming. And sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grants us in the akhirat. The dua is accepted. It's mentioned in some riwayats, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will call the banda and remind him, you had made dua on a certain day for a certain thing, this is how I accepted it. You had made dua on a certain, each and every dua, we mentioned to him and how Allah Ta'ala had accepted the dua. It's mentioned when the banda says in the akhirat, all the great reward that Allah Ta'ala is giving him for his duas, then he will express this desire that, oh Allah, how I wish that none of my duas were accepted in the dunya, I should be given everything here in the akhirat. And we see the enormous reward for dua. So dua is a great ibadat, dua mukhul ibadah, is the essence of ibadat. And dua is such a thing that even if you're asking for something in the dunya, it is an ibadat and you're getting sawab for it. You're asking for a nice car, or a nice job, etc., some worldly thing, but because we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to ask from Him, it is an ibadat. And through duas, you get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your link and ta'aluk becomes greater with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we are told to ask for even petty things, salt, etc., ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that your ta'aluk can increase with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more our ta'aluk increases. Not like the human beings. Ask one person something, ask him again, ask him for the third, fourth time. Then what happens? Then he says, nobody else besides me, coming to me. But as far as dua is concerned, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْدَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Person that doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala becomes angry with that person because he's not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, one is sitting after namaz. Some of us, or some people have restricted dua to after Salat. Alhamdulillah, at the time it comes in the duas, duas are accepted. But it doesn't, we shouldn't restrict our duas only for after Salat. Wherever we are, whatever condition we are, wherever we are, keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person to make dua, inshallah, you make dua. When you make dua, after namaz. After namaz, when I'm sitting in the masjid, I make dua, mashallah. But make dua other times as well. Surely we had met one buzduk, you think, in Premier Khan, rahmatullah, a very, very pious person. Walking, person saying, dua me ya dakna. Stop there and then lifted his hands and he made dua. So there's no specific spot for dua. You can make dua wherever we are. And we should take this advantage. Some of our elderly ulama mentioned, you should learn dua from children. How do you learn dua from children? A small child, went to visit somebody just now, strange child, visited the child, she's saying, Nana, Nana, she's moving towards her Nana, seeking refuge with her Nana from myself. She doesn't know me. So every small danger, every small need, every small thing they want, either it's Abba or Ammi or Nana, whoever's around them, keep asking them. So that's how we should be. any small need we have, we ask our Rabbah, like our Shaykh you mentioned, wo to Abba ko pukarte, hum Rabbah ko pukare. Ya Rabbah, give me this, Ya Allah, give me this. Any need, whatever need it may be. Sometimes we don't lift our hands, we are just going, walking, etc. Ya Allah, you make it easy, I'm going for this meeting, I'm going for this job. Ya Allah, you have it done. This is also dua. This is dua from the heart. Then there is muraqabah dua of the heart, where a person is making dua with his heart. It's not talking. Whatever is in his requirements, etc., he's mentioning it in his heart. So we have this by the mashayikh as well. And we should ask for anything and everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat we have, only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is, our wealth, our fame, our popularity, safety, security, all only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the du'as of the Quran and Hadith. Du'as Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, رَبَّنَا أَتَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. Most of them start with رَبَّنَا. Some are du'a of Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. Some are just du'as that Allah ta'ala mentioned. Here Allah ta'ala is teaching us that ask this way. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say a very interesting thing. He says you want something, for example, from the Prime Minister. And you go up to him and he tells you, "Why? What do you require?" You say, "I require a plot of land, for example." He says, "Okay, write me a request and word it in this manner. Oh Prime Minister, I hereby ask you for a plot of land." He tells you how to ask for that. After he tells you how to ask for that and you comply and write that and give it to him, will he reject it or will he accept it? Definitely accept it. Why? He is the one that has taught you to ask like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that taught us, رَبَّنَا آتَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا رَبَّنَا هَبْدَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا رَبَّنَا آتَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَا رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. All this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taught us. So there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept this. Allah ta'ala will definitely accept this, provided we don't flout the rules. Firstly, all our food is halal, haram. We're not asking for something that is haram. We're not hasting in our du'as. There are many conditions. One is, and one very important condition is, our income must be from halal. If a person has haram income, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us in one hadith that we find a person that's a traveler. Traveler, and you know, a traveler's du'a is accepted, a musafir's du'a is accepted, and he is laden with dust, disheveled hair, and is laden with dust, etc. And you can imagine what kind of a suffer he is going through. How he is suffering in his suffer. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some dua. Ma kalu haram, mashrabu haram, malbasu haram. His eating and drinking is from haram. His eating is from haram. His drinking is from haram. His clothing, etc. is from haram. Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, anna yustajabu lahu. How will his dua be accepted? Because all these things haram have crept in, his dua doesn't get accepted. I think it was Hajjaj, he called the ulama of his time, great mashayikh of his time, and he fed them with haram. And then he told them, you can make dua for me, make dua against me, I'm not scared, because I fed you with haram. So it's very, very essential that we save ourselves from haram. And you don't ask for things that are haram, that are not permissible. You're making dua for something that's impermissible. That dua is not proper. Why? You're asking for something that's haram. Another condition, the exception of dua is this, لَمْ يَسْتَعْجِلْ مَا لَمْ يَسْتَعْجِلْ. You don't hasten, like we sometimes do, make one dua, after a while make another, make a second time, we make dua for the same thing, third time, fourth time, fifth time. Then we say, no, I made so much dua, I didn't accept it. This is hastening in dua. Our duty is to make the dua. Carry on making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how he's answering the dua. We have the yakin, he's answered how? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And then one of the greatest benefits of dua is the cash feeling that you get. The cash nakah that you make now. Greatest benefit of dua is, no matter how enormous and big your problem is, like in the worldly sense, you know somebody, for example, in the tax department, you have a problem, so you went up to him. Why? He's got some contact, connection, like you say. You go up to him and you tell him. Then you come back, tell your friends, no, alhamdulillah, I spoke to so and so, inshallah, you get organized. So you feel relieved. Similarly, a person puts up his hands and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how great the problem is, the moment he says, بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ, immediately he feels the relief in his heart. Immediately he feels the relief in his heart that I have taken this matter, I have handed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully in charge. So immediately he feels all that depression, etc., is gone of his wife. Because he's handed the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. So we should ask continuously for du'as, and the best du'as are the du'as that come in the Quran Sharif and the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran Sharif du'as, Allah ta'ala himself tells us how to ask. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's du'as, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inspired from the side of Allah ta'ala to ask like that. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak from his side. Whatever Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is wahi that has come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why our Kabir have compiled books. Compiled books in the du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seen in the du'as it has. Most of the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And similarly, Munajat-e Maqbool that the Mashaykh recommend you should read every day. And Hizbul Azam. These all have the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows the ma'rifat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the ma'rifat of Allah. How he was arif billah. The du'as that he had made. One alim has just told me now from London, says one person should mention that if you want to reach Allah Ta'ala quickly with the jet, then read the du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That will bring you close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the qubuliyat in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala inshallah will be guaranteed with the du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today I wish to share some du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that has linked to some actions. Our Rasul and Nabi was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He was sent as a mercy to entire creation. While he was here, he was a mercy. After he is gone, his teachings are a mercy. And he has made du'as of mercy also. He has made du'as of mercy for some actions. His ways are full of mercy. A person adopts the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our Shaykh says, not only the mercy of Allah, take you to Jannat. Naqshe qadam Nabi ke hai, Jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate sunnat ke raaste. He says, you want to know the highway, the pathway to Jannat, then the footsteps of Rasulullah. The sunnat of Rasulullah, this is the road. Naqshe qadam Nabi ke hai, Jannat ke raaste. These are the roads of Jannah. Or Allah se milate sunnat ke raaste. Once you adopt the sunnat, then this will make you go and link Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you love Allah, follow me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to say, as in the Quran, follow me, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to love you. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the beloved of Allah. If we follow the beloved of Allah, we will become beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the rule even in the dunya. You have a son, the person that is very beloved to your son, he likes him, you begin to like him as well. You have a father, somebody is very close to the father, loves the father. You also love that person because he loves your father. Your father is beloved to you. He loves him. You become beloved in your eyes as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned, was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And he had made dua for Rahmat. He had made dua for Rahmat. And that dua will remain, inshallah, as long as people adopt those actions where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made dua for them. There are several ahadiths that mention where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had mentioned the words Rahim Allah. Many actions. And these actions are very diverse. Sometimes it's business, sometimes it's buying and selling, sometimes it's bringing up your children, sometimes it's in ibadat, sometimes it's your contact with your wife, sometimes it's your personal traits. For different actions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the words Rahim Allah. Some places is Rajulan, some places is Abdan. Rahim Allahu Abdan, the first hadith, Rahim Allahu Abdan. May Allah have mercy on that slave, on that banda, who samhan idha ba'a. He is very lenient when he sells. Wa samhan idha ashtara. He is very lenient when he buys. Wa samhan idha qada. He is very lenient when he is paying off his dues. Wa samhan idha qtada. And he is very lenient when he is demanding his dues. Now this, there's no namaz mentioned here, no hajj mentioned here, no zakat mentioned here. It's purely buying and selling, especially for those people who are business people. And all of us buy and sell. Either you buy and sell like as a businessman, or you go buy and sell like a customer. You buy mostly as a customer. So imagine, if our behavior is correct and proper, then we are getting the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first part Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that Allah have mercy on that slave who is lenient, who is gentle, who is considerate, idha ba'a, when he is selling. When he's selling, he's considerate. In other words, we are selling some item. Some person comes to buy the item. Sometimes he's selling short of 2 rands, 3 rand, or 5 rand. Or sometimes we see this person is a poor person, and we are selling the item for 20 rands. We look at the person's condition, and we make it cheap for him. This is consideration for when you are selling an item. Not like what is the trend today, that when you're selling something, get the highest price. When you're buying something, get the lowest price. That's the norm today. But the du'as of Rasulullah s.a.w. are not for that person. Are for that person who's considerate, he's gentle, he's easy when he's selling some item. That's why I say sometimes, you know, we forget that this is also part of our deen. This is also part of our deen, and such a great part of our deen, that Allah Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us in one hadith, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'an-nabiyyina wa-siddiqina wa-shuhada. That trader, At-tajir, as-saduqul amin, saduq is absolutely truthful. Al-amin is absolutely trustworthy. For him is what? Ma'an-nabiyyina wa-siddiqina wa-shuhada. He will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, with the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada on the Day of Judgment. He's a business person, he's a trader. But because he has these attributes of truthworthiness and truthfulness, then inshallah on the Day of Judgment he will be with these great people. One hadith mentioned, Tahta Zillil Arsh. The person, Tajir al-Saduqul Amin, Tahta Zillil Arsh. He will be beneath the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shadow of the Arsh on the Day of Judgment. Who? A trader. So a person through trading also can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can obtain great ranks in the akhirat. So our deen is so beautiful that any aspect of our deen, it is done in accordance with the way shown to us by Allah, commands of Allah, and shown to us by the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we can get very close to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first part of the hadith was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua of mercy for that person, that when he is selling, he is very considerate, he is very lenient, he is very gentle when he is selling. وَسَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى. And when he's buying also, he's very considerate, he's very lenient, he's very gentle. Not like what is the trend today, as I mentioned. When it comes to buying an item, you tell a man, buy, oh, this I can get for 10 rand. When you're selling 15, I can get for 10. You don't want to pay him his price. And when you're selling the item, when you're buying the item, what happens? You are hard. You don't want to pay the price. You start bargaining. And we bargain, as I mentioned, even that mama sitting down on the road, selling a few mangoes, a few lychees, a few fruit, you look at the entire stock, is worth 210 maybe maximum. This is a point of reflection for many of us, not all of us, mashallah, there are people who don't do that, but many of us should reflect. Why? The trend and the norm is that you must bargain. Ladies are charging you for 20 rand for maybe a dozen of mangoes. I said, no, make it cheap. Make it cheap. Now look at her condition, what she owns. Look at my condition. My credit cards in my pocket are worth thousands. The car I'm driving is worth thousands. The shoes and clothing I'm wearing are worth thousands. The house I stay in worth thousands. And sometimes I don't even need to go and earn. I don't even need to earn. Allah has given me so much. This lady just has a few items to sell. She has come from very far sometimes, carrying that basket on her head, sitting down there in the sun. And she's selling some item. You want to squeeze her as well for the 3 rand and 2 rand and make it cheap. Make it cheap. Our spirit should be what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu on one journey. When he found Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, his father had passed away, and his father was left debts, and his sisters were very needy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that and considered that, and thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Hazrat Jabir, are you selling this camel? He said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought it from him and told him, when you come to Medina Munawwara, you meet me in the masjid, I'll pay you for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to the Jabir radiallahu anhu. As Jabir came to the masjid, met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam examined the animal and told Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, O Bilal, pay Hazrat Jabir and give him more than what we had, the price that we had fixed. Give him more. He gave him more than what the price that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fixed. And then he told Hazrat Jabir, take the camel also for you. In this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. Sometimes you should do that also. And some of my friends do it. Some of my friends, one friend did it in front of me. He went, came to a robot, a lady came to selling something, some mangoes or whatever it was, I don't remember. How much? 10 rand, 20 rand, he bought it. Bought it from her, gave her the money and gave it back to her. That lady lifted up her hands and said, Course means God. She was so moved by that action, she said, oh God, in other words, what have you done for me? You have actually paid me and given me back my things. One of our students, he had given a lift to one of the ladies. After he had heard this, he said, I must also do something like this to get the du'as of these people, or get the feelings of goodwill from these people. He gave the lady a lift to the airport, elderly lady, and told her, I'll charge you so much. It was from out of Durban. He took her to the airport, stopped the car, and he told her, okay, I'll help you to check in as well. He went, took her, checked her in. Thereafter, that 100 dirhams that he had charged her, he gave it back to her. So that lady was so overcome, joy, etc. She could not believe her eyes, and she asked him, who you are and where you come from, and start taking details. She said, no, we are Muslims and we are taught by Rasulullah SAW, our Prophet, to do carry out such actions. So when a person is buying also, he should be considerate, he should be lenient, pay more. She's asking for 20, give her 25 rand, I'm paying you more. It doesn't happen, you are considerate. You are looking at her condition and you are realizing that she's a very needy lady, very needy. In fact, some people say their families, when they come to the houses to sell, even if you don't want anything, give them something, assist them. They have come so far with the hope and expectation that this person will buy something from me. Support them in some way or the other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can tame the tables whenever He wants. Look at the countries of Yemen, all these countries, Syria, etc. Wealthy, wealthy people sitting in the queues now and getting handouts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of every person, and we should be considerate to these people, whoever it is, to get the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also we will get their du'as as well. وَسَمْحًا إِذَا قَضَى. When it comes to fulfilling the rights of people, especially debts, today we have a very, very bad name, the Muslims especially in the marketplace. Many people say those people with the long, long jubbas and beards, no, we don't want to deal with them. Why? Because they don't pay their dues in time. We tell a person, come 30 days, we don't look at the other side. That person is from hand to mouth. He's got few children in his house and he's working hand to mouth. He's manufacturing something, packing something, and he comes and sells it to us. And we tell him, okay, bye, you come after 30 days, I will pay you. And when he comes after 30 days, we say, no, business is bad. Business can be bad or business can be good. The condition was, you're going to pay him after 30 days. If business was bad, then you won't be riding the same car, you won't be buying a brand new car, you won't be going for Umrah, you won't be going doing nafil things that you don't have to do, you won't be purchasing things that you don't have to do if business was bad. But when it comes to paying this man, the business is bad. That man is helpless. That man is a helpless man. Why? He's dependent for you to pay him. You say, no, you come after one more month. Come next month, I'll pay you. He's pleased with you, no? And I was told our people go even further. Our people have the audacity to go even further. Bought that item 1 month ago for 10 rand. Now the man comes to collect the money. Bye, his item is not selling. Take it back. Oh, bye. This item now, the price has come down. Price is selling for 5 rand. They can be giving it for free. Your agreement with this man is 10 rand. You have to fulfill that agreement with him and pay him that 10 rand. People say, take it back. But people say, now it's gone cheaper in the market now. I can't pay you the 10 rand. Otherwise, going against the word, completely going against the word that I will pay you after 30 days, I don't want to pay them. Sometime procrastinating comes in the hadith. There are many things we don't understand. Comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, matlul ghani zulmun. Matlul ghani zulmun. The procrastination of a wealthy person is oppression. I've got the money, I can't pay the man, I'm procrastination. Come next week, come following week. I'm oppressing this man. I don't know I'm oppressing him. I feel, no, I'm buying time from him, I'm sending his items, mashallah, very nice, prosperous business than I am. And this person doesn't have to make baddua for me. Just that, comes out, my money I didn't get. Can't pay my rentals. I can't meet my commitments. Just that, coming out is a dua against us. And Rasulullah SAW tells us, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. Save yourselves from the baddua of the oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. There is nothing between him. There is no curtain and veil between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. Whether he's a Muslim or even a non-Muslim, fear the du'as of the oppressed. Then what happens? We can't understand. I'm reading my namaz, making my zikr, making my tilawat, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing everything. But I've got problems in my life. My children, my wife, my business. I've got problems in my life. The baddua of that person is working against you. What dua of the person? That ah of that person is working against you. Why? You are cursed. In fact, one of my relatives was telling me about people do strange things in their life, forgetting that we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of our actions. There was one land, I never decided to mention this, but I think I'll mention it. There was a certain land, imagine there's a land here next to Masjid Hilal, and somebody wanted to purchase this land. It belonged to a non-Muslim person. So, well, that person was hard-pressed for some reason. So he took a loan from a Muslim person, from a Muslim person for about 20,000 rand in those days. And the Muslim person, obviously, when a person gives you a loan, title deed, I want the title deed, etc., securing himself. That person was a non-Muslim, he came out of his difficulties. And this was, I think, in the 60s. Came out of his difficulties, and he came back to this Muslim person. And he told him, I'm prepared to pay you the monies. You know what he told him? What are you talking about? That land, you sold it to me. That land, you sold it to me that time. And this man didn't sell the land. He just went for a loan because he was in difficulty. He said, no, you sold me the land. He had the title deed. That was in the 60s. We were sitting in 2019. Nobody wants to buy that land. She said, I'm going to curse this land. Those people said, we're cursing this land and we're living here. Oppressed people. Curse that land. 60s, sitting in 2019. Nobody wants to buy that land. People are going to and fro, buying it, selling it, buying it, selling it. Nobody wants to buy that land. That land is cursed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. In fact, another friend of mine, he put his properties on a few people's names, said, help me out before people come and claim. When he came back, those people loaned to give him back his properties. He says, it's mine. And he says, you know what's the condition of that man who don't, he didn't want to give my property? You know what his condition? He goes around begging now from my workers. And I still pay his medical bills, never mind. So no conscious that how we are dealing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how we should be, how fair we should be, I should be truthful, I read my salat properly, I should be truthful in my dealings. So when it comes to our dues, then we pay the man in time. And وَسَمْحًا إِتَقْتَدَى. This is another place sometimes we falter, that he is very lenient and considerate when he claims. When he claims, somebody is owing me 10,000 rand, for example. Now the due date comes, I go to him and I ask him, and for genuine reasons he can't pay me. For genuine reasons he can't pay me, I give him time. I give him grace not to pay me. And if I see he's very poor, then I forgive him. I overlook it. I overlook it, which is very seldom done. It reminds me of, always reminds me of one incident in the South Coast. There was one person who went and intercede. To intercede on behalf of people is a great neki. But people don't do it. Somebody comes to me and says, Mawa Sahab, this person is owing me 100 rand or 1,000 rand. Come help me, and I'll say, I'll make dua for you. I don't want to get involved in this. Yet, Rusulullah had mentioned that the shafa'u to tujaru, which makes sifarish, and you'll be, Allah will give you a reward and sawab for making sifarish and interceding for people. Before, people used to do it. Nowadays, people say, no, I don't want to get involved in this. Why? I'll make dua for you, etc. No, you should intercede, especially for the weak people. Weak people, those people that people can oppress and trample their rights on, we should go and intercede for those people. So where were we? Gee, I was talking about a person in the South Coast. One person in those days was, he was buying and selling with him. We make money out of them, obviously. A person is buying, is a wholesaler. Somebody, a retailer, comes and buys from him. For years he's buying from him. Then suddenly he started going down in business. And he went down to such an extent that he was owing him 90,000 rands. Those days, 90,000 rands was very big money. And he had genuine reasons not to pay him. One is the person is dodging you, is not paying you. And one is the person genuinely went down. You know, and what hearts Allah Pak has given people. One thing is leading to another. Anyway, so this person, he was a Hafiz of Quran, influential person in the town. And he went to this person, this wholesaler, and told him, bye. This person is owing you 90,000 rand. True. I said, yes. I said, do you know this person went down in business? Genuinely trying to make his business go, he went down. So he says, then what do you want me to do? He says, what are you short of? He says, this is the question we don't ask ourselves. We see what is due for us, but what are you short of? He says, nothing. He says, write it off. He says, that man, in the flesh of a woman, said, I write it off. And forgave him and said, don't have to pay me the 90,000 rand. Now imagine what barakat Allah Pak must have given him. Allah Pak knows that he's in the position of power. He can demand him, like people do, we'll close your shop, we'll take your goods out of the house, we'll sell your property, etc. Genuinely, this man is in need. What must we do? Help him. How did he help him? Wrote it off. 90,000 rands, because he was short of nothing. And Allah Ta'ala must have given him such barakat thereafter that he'll never be short of anything. Because he had made, showed mercy and leniency, got the barakat, or he got the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the barakat he'll get from the side of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There's a similar incident worthy of mentioning, not related to this. Recently, one of my friends in Transvaal, they're very close in that family, their brother-in-laws. I told him, Mona, one of our brother-in-laws is in difficulty, financial difficulty. And he's just going down and down and down and he's sinking. The hole is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Make dua, we want to go and help him. We want to establish the reasons. That also are very few people today. See somebody going down, let him go down. But buy his things for a song. He's going down, he's desperate, buy his things for a song. No. We want to go and help him, make dua that we get to the root cause. What are the most common things that take you down today? Second wife, he said, he's telling me, I don't know if he's got a second wife, or I don't know if he's gambling, or I don't know if he's on drugs. Because these are the things, not always a second wife, obviously, but gambling, person keeps saying, Allah Pak, save us from the sicknesses. And the third thing is drugs. So we don't know whether our brother-in-law is an honorable person, respectable person. What is making him so much in financial, putting in financial difficulty? So they went around, it was a weekend, told me, I made dua for him. I was quite keen to find out the reasons, because somebody goes down, as I mentioned, the most likely reasons coming to mind is on drugs, or is gambling, or he's got a second wife, and he's spending on her. So I was waiting the next day to get his call. I thought of him Fajr time, but I said, no, I don't give him trouble. I don't know till what hours of the night they must have set to solve the problem. He phoned me up on that Sunday, and tells me, Mona, what must I tell you? He says, we established that my brother-in-law, this brother-in-law was married to my wife, his wife's sister, he's in the red for 10 million rand. He's in the red, he's owing, 10 million rand he's owing. And it was nothing but his business. Business kept going down and down and down and down. And he had a lot of hope, it would pick up, let me try this, let me try this, let me try that. And now, 10 million rand he's owing. He has to pay 5 million rand immediately to somebody. And other 5 million rand is grace for him. So while we were sitting there, his brother was also there. Now this is the part for us to consider, to see what hearts Allah Pak has given people. His brother was there who had a thriving business, and he was a partner with his brother previously. Then they terminated the partnership. This brother was now partnership with his wife in a business. So his brother was also on the table when he was solving the problem. The brother said, I take it upon myself to pay the 10 million. I had great dreams of buying a Ferrari and buying this and buying that. And I've asked my wife about this also. She has also agreed that we should settle this debt. And I'll employ my brother, I'll give him a nice living wage, and I'll pay off his debt of 10 million rand. I don't want his soul to be suspended when he passes away. Comes in the hadith, and he said, this person didn't even have a beard. I don't want the soul of my brother to be suspended when he passes away. Until he does not pay his debt, his soul will be suspended. I don't want that to happen to my brother. I'm prepared to part with 10 million rand for his sake. That person was my friend. He said, I started crying. I said, I also feel like crying. He said, I started crying when I heard this. So this is the hearts people have given to, Allah has given to people, consideration for people that are owing others money, or when they owing us money. Comes in the riwayat, the person will come on the day of judgment, he will have no neki, no good deeds. His only good deeds was this, he is to grant respite to people. He should grant respite to people, if the due date is to come, he should grant them respite. Or, they couldn't pay, he should forgive them and oversee it. No other good deeds. No other good deeds. It's mentioned in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day, we'll forgive this person. Because you had given respite to them, I give respite to you, go to Jannah. I forgive you. So these are actions that are carried out in the marketplace. We feel that we are very good business people when we squeeze the person. But we don't realize how close we can get to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if we are lenient and considerate, etc. Payment. I still remember when we were in Madina Munawwara, sometimes what happens, sometimes you pay consideration to the place. We're in Madina Munawwara. The people of Madina Munawwara are all good people, pious people, neighbors of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sometimes what happens when you go and you make a deal with a person, tells you 50 riyals. And when you stop there, 60 riyals, you know, Afash kashir, anta santa shanta kasir. It's too much stuff here, man. I didn't know, Suma, I'm charging you 70 riyals. We start squealing with the person. A similar thing happened when Hazrat was with Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and there was some disagreement in the price, etc. So one of the satis was saying, so much, Hazrat charged from there, Dedo, ye ahli Medina hai. They were asking for, give him. These are people of Medina. So this is the consideration we should have. People of Medina, poor person, pious person, can't afford it now, something happened, take it. Mama that walked from far and came to the shop there and had only 20 rands and the item in one, 30 rands. No, see, how we speak, you can see, it's written here 30 rands. Mark price, 30 rands, can't give you. It is, that is wahi from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, your friend will come, you'll give it to him free of charge. Consideration for poor people, for people that are poor, people that cannot afford it. Person comes, you know, we go so far, person comes, they bought something. He realized that he overspent, he comes back to the shop, Baba, I don't want this item. What do you tell him? Oh. Once you put it in the till now, can't give it back. Can't give it back, it's in the till now, made the slip. Rasulullah tells us in one hadith, the person that revokes the sale of a person that's regretful, Allah Ta'ala will revoke his sins and cancel his sins on the day of judgment. Person is regretful. Man akala nadiman, is regretful, is sorrowful. Hey, I got no money now for bus fare or for something else. I spent it here. He comes back and tells you, buy, I have to return this item. You don't take it. He said, no, I put the money in the till, I can't take it. If you take it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cancel that sale, Allah Ta'ala will cancel your sins on the day of judgment. It's mentioned it was one sahabi, I think, who opened the shop. And when this happened, there was a shop. He says, I was waiting for that day. Somebody comes to me to cancel his sale, and I cancel it for him. That I become worthy of that reward promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our akabir and our elders, they knew the hadith. They knew what is left in store for them. And they used to let things go. Reminds me of Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh. It's mentioned about him that he had bought a plot in the heart of Karachi for his Darul Uloom. And he had all the papers, everything was above board. And somebody started laying claim to that after that. Everything he had, all the documentation, etc. So it comes in the hadith that the person who leaves out argumenting, even though he is on the haq, then Rasulullah saw some guarantees for him, place in paradise, in a jannat in paradise. But the people came, the people that were around, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, told him, Hazrat, prime land, you know, and it's all ours, everything above board. Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, no. If you want, then I'd rather resign from this committee than buying this land. Man is claiming it, I won't buy this land. I'll leave it because that man is claiming it, and I have a right to it also, but I won't buy it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such a beautiful piece of land. We go to Karachi, we go and see the madrasa. Beautiful piece of land now in Korangir, where there's a nice big Darul Uloom of Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh. So they knew these ahadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But today, if somebody does that, what will happen? The people around us will say, you are a fool. You had it, you could have taken it to the man to court. You should have fought and got it. But where is the barakat in fighting and getting things? So people do not realize this. Anyway, we wandered away too far. The fourth part of the hadith was that a person who is lenient when he is claiming from a person, shows consideration, leniency, compassion, pay me in installments, pay me after 4 months, pay as you can, pay when you're earning, pay when you have the money. And all those people that had this spirit, most of them, mashallah, got their money back. Fully back, they got it. Why? Because they were dealing with people that were trustworthy. Remember what Umar Rahmatullah telling us about one family in northern Natal that had gone down in life. And after a person goes down, you know what happens? They come and they compromise. They said, no, we will pay the last penny. We will pay the last penny that we are owing. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala brought that day when they paid everybody. I know of one friend of ours, I was talking to him yesterday. He was a very, very rich person. Very rich person, and he went down. That's the hands of Allah. Yapsutu rizqa liman yasha wa yaqdir. Expands it to whomsoever he wants and contracts it to whomsoever he wants. That is why we should never make fakhr. We should always make shukr to Allah. Oh Allah, whatever I have is only from you. You have given it to me, you can take it away tomorrow. Save me from those actions that will make me mahroom of the barakat of the rozi that I got. Let me save me from those actions. I mustn't carry out those actions where your curse comes to me, the curse of some people come to me and my monies are gone. This person left And he was owing people money, thousands of rand, millions of rand, I would say. And obviously, you know, the society is there to pick on the people. Ah, it's a big chore. He did this, he did that, he did that. He went down, genuinely went down. And after a few years, he came back. Came back with only 100 rand in his pocket. Only 100 rand in his pocket, he came back. And today he has paid everyone off. The millions of rand that he owed, he's paid it off. And Allah has given him millions as well. As long as the person is trustworthy, upright and straight, the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. So to get the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we are selling something, we should be considerate and easy. When we are buying something, we should be considerate and easy. When we have to pay people, we should be considerate and easy. Like, and we don't have to go far. Just look into the lives of our forefathers. They used to keep the money beforehand. That Farooq Bhai is coming Monday morning, here's the money. They should keep it there Sunday. Money ke tied to his money is here. You must give it to him when he comes. You should ensure, you should earn. You can't spend this money because you're owing Farooq Bhai. He's coming on Monday. You have to pay him. And the other scenario today is, let him come in. I'll deal with him. Give him a check, you know. But he's telling me yesterday, one man bought all the goods and he said, here's a check. But nowadays, with all the fraud that's getting on, the person said, no problem. Cash it and bring the money and take your stuff. Cash the check. Cash it somewhere, bring the money and take your stuff. See? So this is the zamana we live in. Give it in black and white also, fraud. You know? Give the man a check also. Hey man, why you came now, Monday morning you came. Hey, the check bounced, man. You know, the guy gave me a check, it bounced. Inshallah, next week I'll pay you. Promises upon promises upon promises. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked for refuge from many things. One was maghram, debt. Had asked for refuge from debt. Why? When a person falls into debt, then he promises and he lies and he continues. Come tomorrow, like I say, next week. Next week comes, the man is not there. What happened? Well, he's gone to Johannesburg, something happened. He can go to Timbuktu. Where's my money? He promised it to me next week. You should leave the money here. Carry on. No, he's gone to Johannesburg. How far is Johannesburg? One button away. How far is America? One button away. Press and you're on top. Now with the WhatsApp, press WhatsApp, absolutely free of charge. You're getting in touch with him in America. Where's the money, boy? Can be gone anywhere. Now that's an excuse. Come next week. You know, a person does fraud. Some of our relatives had a property in Pakistan. Every time this person used to go to Pakistan, he can't meet that person. He can't meet that person that's staying on his property. He's absent. You know, this man is staying for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, the hunting for him is not there. He's gone. And I don't want to talk about India stories. Anyway, leave it. We're all from India anyway. We never regard ourselves as superior to those people that came from India. We're all Indians. Sometimes I was in Transvaal one place. I went to meet one elderly person. I said, but who's this? He said, nah, this person's from India. The tone that he used shows like, you know, it's from India. It doesn't demand any importance. From India, not sure. You know? So I told him, maybe India, not sure. I'm also from India. My forefathers didn't come from America. All came from India. The only difference is, I gave trouble to my father and grandfather to come, and this person came direct from India. So we should respect them as well. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at you from India or from Africa, looks at your hearts. And so many people can be much better than us, even if they're from India or Japan or from wherever they may be. We had people from Amlazi. One person had seen in the dream that Rasulullah Sallallahu giving some indications. There's a lot of durood coming to me from this side and pointed towards the African township. One person there had passed away in Ramadan from there. So these are all fortunate persons. Anyway, we digress. So in this hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu teaches us that even if we are in a marketplace, we can get the du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's about 10, 12 hadiths of this type. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on these hadiths. The next time we're buying or selling or owing something people or demanding, think of the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will give it to us, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.